Good morning, and welcome to the CyberSmart Morning News Update. With the always evolving world of cyber threats and defense, you need a source you can trust. FBI retired Special Agent Darren Mott guides you through today's intricate cyber landscape and brings you the latest headlines and insights and what it means to you. Let's dive into today's cyber news.
Good morning, friends. It is Thursday, September 28th, 2023. This is the CyberSmart Morning News Update. I am your host, retired FBI Supervisory Special Agent Darren Mott. Thank you so much for listening, downloading, sharing, and commenting on the podcast. I hope you are enjoying it as much as I am enjoying bringing it to you. It's kind of fun going through this new stuff and just seeing all the crap going on. So I watch the news, so you don't have to. Let's get right into it. Got six stories. All the links are in the show notes if you want to go check these out. I will not obviously read all of the article, but I'll kind of hit on the highlights and kind of give you what it means and what to think about. Well, not to think about, but what, you know, kind of my opinion on what kind of what this means for those of us normal people just trying to live our lives. So first one from Dark Reading, Nate Nelson reporting, headline, China APT cracks Cisco firmware in attacks against the US and Japan. And this is interesting because last week, Cisco bought Splunk, which is a SIM solution, which basically does continuous monitoring of networks. It's that kind of application. For $28 billion, probably some of that money might have been useful to look for these vulnerabilities, but whatever. So anyway, reading from this article, an old Chinese state-sponsored threat actor has been quietly manipulating Cisco routers to breach multinational organizations in the U.S. and Japan. Black Tech, also known as Palmer Worm, Temp Overboard, Circuit Panda, Radio Panda, has been replacing device firmware with its own malicious version in order to establish persistence and pivot from smaller international subsidiaries to headquarters of affected organizations. Those organizations have thus far spanned government, industrial, technology, media, electronics, and telecommunication sectors, and include entities that support the militaries of the U.S. and Japan. This is a bad thing. And I'm kind of surprised, honestly, I didn't see more headlines on this. And maybe I just want to pay close attention, but I only saw two of the sites I follow, and I saw this on two. But this is really bad, people, because China, let's be honest, China is our number one cyber enemy. Whether people want to believe it or not or whatever, I don't care about all the political stuff around China. China has a plan. They are doing their plan, and we are constantly being losing to it. In this case, Cisco, a very large cyber-focused company, should not have vulnerabilities within their routers, which is what is used to move traffic across the internet that is so easily compromised. Now, it probably wasn't easily compromisable. I'm sure this went on for quite a while. But essentially, this creates a host of issues now because all of these routers have living on the land style tools and stuff like that on these routers that can then allow the hack these actors to move along. This is, it's a very lengthy, somewhat long, I'll probably take a couple minutes to read it, but it's definitely worth looking into simply because we're going to hear more about this as the week goes on, I think, because this is on the level badness of MOVEit and SolarWinds and stuff like that. Why it's not raising more concern in the news media. Well, because the news media doesn't really know what they're talking about. That's probably part of it. All right. Number two, bleepingcomputer.com. Ionet Ilescu reporting. Fake Bitwarden sites push new Zenrat password stealing malware. Fake Bitwarden sites are pushing installers purportedly for the open source password manager that carry a password stealing malware that security researchers call Zenrat. Now, again, you got to hand it to some of these bad guys. They are freaking smart. So Bitwarden is a password manager. And so now these bad guys are setting up sites that are fake that allow them to steal passwords. So obviously the case here, if you are a Bitwarden user, which this says this particular group is focused on Windows users, not to say that if you are a Mac user, you should, or Apple user, you shouldn't pay attention. But the key here is, you know, do due diligence on the sites you go to. More from the site here, the malware is distributed to Windows users through websites that imitate the legitimate Bitwarden site and rely on typo squatting to fool potential victims. So if you mistype in Bitwarden, you add an extra R, you miss the E, it's going to go to a site that you don't pay close enough attention to realize that you're on a fictitious site that's going to download malware. So if you are a Bitwarden user, be careful where you're going because you could be putting a remote Trojan on your machine, which could cause a whole host of issues. And if you're a company using Bitwarden, you may want to see if there's a CVE associated with this. There does not appear to be so.
But this article does show some of the files that are loaded in. So, and like in this case, one of the fake name, fake sites, Bitwarden, is spelled instead of W-A-R-E-D-N, it's spelled W-A-R-I-D-N. That's the typo squatting stuff. So it steals all sorts of data from your computer, does bad stuff. So if you're a Bitwarden user, be aware. Check your system, clean your stuff. All right. Also from Bleeping Computer, Sergio Gatlin reporting, Google fixes fifth actively exploited Chrome zero day of 2020. At this point, stop using Chrome if you can prevent it. I mean, like, my God, this is 5 zero days in the last several weeks. So now, fortunately, it's been identified. There's a CVE that's out on it. It's 2023-5217. It creates a heap buffer overflow weakness and does a bunch of bad stuff and allows bad guys in and, you know, does all the normal stuff. So that to be said, if you have Chrome, which I have Chrome here, I might as well, at the end of this podcast, I will go and I will update my Chrome to patch that zero day. But if you're a Chrome user, go patch, go do an update. Hopefully you have auto updates on. If you don't, turn on auto updates for all your browsers. They're all finding these vulnerabilities. It's been a bad fall for browsers. From securityfarers.com, this is Pierluigi Paganini. He must be the only reporter there, because I'm always doing his articles. But ransom.vc, this is the ransomware group that claims responsibility for Sony, is in the spotlight, and they also claim to have hacked a company called NTT Docomo. No idea what that company does, but I'm sure it's bad for them. But following the recently announced data leak from Sony, Ransom VC Group claimed the hack of the Japanese giant NTT Docomo. It's a telecommunication giant. Okay, so a telecommunication company, which is going to have tons of information that can be then stolen and obviously ransom out. Notably, the announcement came following the recently announced data leak from Sony. The notorious ransomware syndicate, okay, ransom.vc, notorious. They're new. I don't know I guess they did Sony and out of this one, so I guess they gained the notoriety. But they announced a new victim today in the face of the largest Japanese telecommunication giant, NTT Docomo. Notably, the announcement came almost synchronously with the publication of the new leaked data from Sony, shedding some light on the precursor of the data breach. So again, like I said, when the Sony breach came out and Sony said nothing happened, that more would be ultimately let out, and here we are. So Sony rejected to pay the ransom demands, and the bad leakers are now leaking data. They are asking $1,015,000, that's not probably a Bitcoin number, to be paid by NTT Docomo. So again, we're probably going to see more of this group. Who are they? I would almost be willing to bet they are members of other obviously known ransomware groups that have disbanded. I'm using air quotes for disbanded, and have now gotten back together to do a whole bunch of other stuff. So also in this article also talks about the new coalition of ransomware groups that are working together to do bad stuff. So, you know, obviously this keeps the spotlight on ransomware. So again, you need to be aware of your network, be aware of your vulnerabilities, collect cyber intelligence, listen to podcasts like this so you're aware of these things going on, and have that internal discussion in your leadership and your IT and cybersecurity groups. If you don't have them, get some. And, you know, talk about what are you going to do with all of this activity that ultimately is going to come to your doorstep. All right, Info Security Magazine, Phil Muncaster reporting, regulator warns breaches can cost lives. So that was a pretty good clickbait headline I decided to look into, but this is from the UK largely. The UK's privacy regulator has warned organizations handling the personally identifiable information of domestic abuse victims that data breaches could put lives at risk. The latest missive from the Information Commissioner's Office follows reprimands issued by the watchdog to seven organizations in the past 14 months that sensitive PII was breached. And this makes a good point, obviously, for those companies that have, or those entities that have information on abuse victims. If that data is compromised and released and those people are in hiding, or there's information that can lead to who they are, it certainly is going to cause a problem. So this kind of highlights the need again, obviously, for data protection, for making sure you are securing your crown jewels, encrypting your data, so that even if it's stolen, it is unusable. But clearly this is the problem, because data is being stolen. Hello, Sony, and obviously readable and then releasable, and bad things can happen. So this is not good for domestic abuse victims, but it makes the point, obviously, that these are secondary problems from data breaches that no one really talks about. And I applaud Phil Muncaster for kind of highlighting this. That's something that we don't talk about a lot, but something that certainly needs to be thought about and reviewed. Also from Info Security Magazine, Alessandro Massolino reporting, BEC, business email compromise attacks, increased by 279% in healthcare. This one caught my eye because this is a problem, obviously. Business email compromise has always been a problem. Up until last year, it was the number one cybersecurity issue by loss, only to be overcome by cryptocurrency and other investment scams. But in this particular article, business email compromise attacks in the healthcare sector have seen a 279% increase this year, shows a new report published by Abnormal Security. The data also suggests a 167% increase in advanced email attacks, including business email compromise, credential phishing, malware, and extortion. Further, the average number of advanced email attacks per 1,000 mailboxes in the healthcare sector started the year at 55.66 in January and peaked at over 100 in March. So within 2 months, the number of email attacks almost doubled, or did pretty much doubled. Although the numbers have stabilized at approximately 61.16 attacks, which is still not good. That's 6%, which is a lot. Historical trends suggest a potential increase during the holiday season. Obviously, this is going to be a big thing because, you know, some of this, you're going to have all of the gift card scams and all of that stuff. So the FBI reports that the average financial loss for a business email compromise attack is $125,000. These attacks are increasingly dangerous because they are often text-based, sent from legitimate domains, and lack typical indicators of compromise. That is the key to business email compromise. Someone has gained access to a legitimate email account and sent out emails that ultimately they're hoping someone clicks a link. I'm getting tons of these from law firms. If you are in a law firm, if you work with law firms, if you know anybody in a law firm, tell them to protect their crap. For God's sake, I have probably gotten 10 business email compromise type emails from law firms all across the country. I mean, I've gotten to the point where I can no longer even bothering calling them to say, hey, you've been hacked, because they're figuring out some point. But for example, here's one I got today. It says, hi there, such and such from the parlatorylawgroup.com invited you to view the file. And there's a file there and whatever. It claims to be a PDF and it's asking me to sign it. Now, the funny thing is, I have no idea who this law firm is. Why does a hacker think I would open that and read it? But you know why they think that? Because someone does do that, opens it, and bad things happen because people are curious. They have a general trust. So again, this is probably a little early op-ed for Friday, but law firms, my God, get your stuff under control, for goodness sake. So that's going to do it for the 6 articles for today. Again, the links are all in the show notes. Feel free to look at that. As always, I appreciate comments, thoughts, suggestions, shares on the podcast. Feel free to let me know if I'm wasting your time with this, or if you think it's good, or if you think it's whatever, you're making a good effort, good on you, whatever. So I'd love to engage with people. If there's any way I can help your company through consulting or whatever, better understand what they're doing, or at least start thinking about how to protect themselves from a lot of this stuff, let me know. If I can't do it myself, I can find someone who can. And that's my sales pitch for today. So with that, I hope you enjoy the rest of your Thursday. We will talk again tomorrow, because knowledge is protection. If you can understand the cyber threats targeting you, you can assess your risk, proceed wisely. And if you get a little cyber smarter, you'll get a whole lot cyber safer.
Cyber Smart Morning News is written and produced by Cyber Guy Productions. Feel free to email thoughts, comments, or suggestions to Darren at thecyberguy.com, or follow Darren on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/in/DarrettMott. Thanks for listening.